hard decisions to make aren't like what training is possible. Like that stuff's easy. Like you can spend hours on Google and come up with like a million different ideas, and they're all like really cool and great. It's more like how do the factors combine? What's the correct sequence of events? And I think a lot of that also depends on context, you know? Like where's the health? How much have you been racing? It seems like you're limited in intensity, but if we actually zoom out and look at the whole thing, okay, you might be right, you're limited in intensity, but is training with more intensity going to help with that? Or have you just had a ton of exposure to that? And maybe actually there's a lot of stimulus that's been accumulated and you'll actually benefit from it, but what you need from it isn't more of it, it's a break from it, you know? And then, I mean, it's the same stuff we all know. It's like you create stress and then you have an adaptation period and then you improve. But like, I don't know, somehow it's really easy to lose sight of when you're like in the week or in the day. And yeah, so I think just trying to like zoom out, see the context, prioritize building a base over everything. Everything is sort of a nice addition on top of that. Yeah, I feel like that's the stuff I always end up coming back to when I feel like I made a big mistake. I just sit there at the end of the year and I'm like, oh man,
I love your candor, man. This is incredible. With you hit on base, and not to beat a dead horse, but I know there's, and especially to a newer athlete that like right now they're listening to you and they're like drinking from the fire hose and like, oh my God, there's so much information in this podcast. Base training, we're going right into base training. What is the most, and you use the word basic a bunch of times, basic way for an athlete to approach base training? So yeah, I'm just gonna leave that there.
I kind of personally in my head break building a base into two phases.
Okay.
The goal of the first phase is to just adapt to training, like be mm-hmm. able to train, you know? So for me, that's like gradually building training volume, doing lots of work in just zone one and two. So like basically easy conversational pace to slightly more moderate aerobic pace. And then incorporate lots of exercises that sort of lay groundwork in terms of neuromuscular recruitment or just like how you're able to ride the bike that are gonna let you train a bit more in the future. So for me, that's stuff like high cadence exercises, a little bit of like high torque, like low cadence exercises and sprints, you know? So like within that big box, that stuff can vary based on like, you know, the level of athlete, how much time they have to work with, what, like, are they hitting this base one phase after a month off the bike? Or is this just sort of like, can you actually almost rush through this base one phase? Cause it's almost not necessary. Like they're already coming in, like able to carry good training load, you know, having access to a pretty big toolbox in terms of cadence and different things. And then for me, like base two is more about like increasing the training volume from sort of the baselines you built up to in the first phase, and then sort of increasing the level of aerobic work you're doing. So like if we were kind of just getting more or less easy time on the bike, like now I'll start adding like quite a bit of tempo work. Same thing, dependent on all the same sort of relative effort for different athletes, but dependent on sort of time they have in the week, their level, that kind of stuff. Are we just doing the tempo work, or are we trying to do 5 hour rides with a half hour tempo in the last hour because we're also working on a fatigue resistance element? Mm-hmm. I think there's like same thing, a lot of directions you can go, but it's like the simple bin for me is like grow training volume, like grow volume of tempo that you can manage each week, do torque work, like low cadence work. I usually use like 3 to 5 minute blocks repeated, and do sprint work and build fatigue resistance.
What's the athlete's benefit from tempo? Because I know some people will be out there reading, like I can't, they'll get the, is it no man's land? Is it that moderato? What do you think is the big benefit of the tempo for athletes in base?
Yeah. And I mean, well, I might not be right, you know, because there's plenty of people like saying like, you know, get away from the tempo a little bit, go a bit more this direction, like fat max, which I think in terms of percent threshold, you could call like below 80%. I don't love the term fat max because like, I kind of think you don't really know, you know, fat max is a metabolic zone. It's not a function of FTP. It's a function of the power at which you're literally burning the most grams of fat, which isn't, it's not high intensity, but it's not easy. But sorry, that could be a different talk, but
I was like, you're opening up a can of worms here, Nate.
But I think that like, yeah, I think the tempo stuff, I think you just build a lot of endurance, a lot of efficiency. I think mentally you kind of build the resilience to just sustain, like kind of be comfortable being uncomfortable. But it's also as long as the zones are set right, it's like a low enough stress effort that you can do a lot of it. You know, you can do 3 times 20 minutes. And I mean, you need to build up to this, but you can do 60 or 70 minutes of tempo in a training session. And that's not like, if you're doing it right and you've kind of progressed up to it, that shouldn't be really hard. You know, you can do that twice a week without that killing you or bringing you on to be too fast too soon. So I think it just, yeah, makes you really strong.